Welcome to Trinity Presbyterian Church Owosso Sermon Podcast. Grace changes everything.
Second Peter chapter 1. All right, I know there's someone here that already remembers that number. 719-599-0604. This section, you're the 719, you're the 599. You're the 06 and you're the 04. You got it? What are you? Good. Pretty good. 0604. 719-599-0604. You probably guessed what it was, right? Oh, no, not my phone. Tammy's phone. Tammy's dad's phone. Yeah, you had to get everything straight when you picked up the phone and you dialed 719-599-0604. I don't remember my phone number because I hardly ever called it. I don't remember my phones, my parents' phone numbers. I don't remember a lot of things, but for some reason, when I was 18 and I dialed that number daily to try and get a hold of this amazing, wonderful woman that I did not want to let slip away, I remembered 599-0604. It is what connected me to a person. It is a number that if I used it frequently, it guaranteed certain knowledge, certain benefits, and hopefully certain love. We don't remember phone numbers as much anymore because once you give it to me, it goes in my phone and you tell your phone, call so-and-so, and it calls so-and-so. But we remember things that are important to us. And it's interesting that as Peter starts this letter out, he starts as Paul does his letters, many of the letters, they start out with this, here is what you have and here is who I'm writing to. And so there is this, almost this assumption, if you got your Bibles, you can look at 2 Peter chapter 1. He calls those he's writing to, those that have obtained a faith that is equal standing with ours. It's by the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He reminds them, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us, by which he's granted us precious and great promises so that you can become partakers of the divine nature. All of these beautiful things, as he starts his letter, aren't something brand new for these people. They're not reading it and saying, I never heard that before. I didn't know that. Interesting that you should say that. No, he is writing them stuff they already know, and he is writing it down for many reasons, but primarily because they're going to forget. As my dad used to say, you boys, you have amazing forgetteries. You long for those days when you could just tell mom, dad, I forgot. That was it. And you're like, oh, okay, I forgot. Right? We have amazing forgetteries. And so Peter says, I'm writing these things to you. The Apostle Paul says the same thing. I'm going to write this thing to you over again. It's no bother for me, and it is important for you. You must remember these things. In fact, in verse 9, he says, if you lack these qualities, the last 2 weeks, Blake has talked about the importance of the gospel, the virtues that come with the gospel, the practices that we have. In verse 9, if you don't have these qualities, what does he say? You're nearsighted. Actually, you're blind. And you've forgotten, says you've forgotten that he's cleansed you from his former sins. And so he says, be more diligent to confirm, for you will be provided a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord. So he's put it out there. And at verse 12, where we pick up this morning, he is in fact saying, I unabashedly, I'm going to remind you. Our text for this morning's sermon, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 21. If you're able, please stand. In Therefore, I intend to remind you of these things. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word, and we pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, our God, our rock, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What does he want us to remember? He pauses almost apologetically to tell them what he just told them. It is like he has spoken to them, but they've been on their phones. It's like I said, this is really important. Some of you might get this. If you ever talk to a guitar player, and that guitar player is strumming his guitar, he doesn't hear you. She doesn't hear you. They'll nod their heads, but they're in a different place. And so Peter is saying, I expect you to forget. It's the history of God's people over and over. They forget, they forget, they forget, they forget. It's what have you done for me lately? We deplore this manna. We should be in Egypt. We forget over and over. And so he says, I want this written down. I'm giving you this letter that you might remember. Kids, sometimes your mom or your dad will say something to you, and you can actually repeat it to them. And you might even say, Dad, you've told me this 1,000 times. If Dad says something to you 1,000 times, you might want to listen. It's probably super, super important. Previous church, the worship leader, I can't let them know too much stuff about me because they use it against me. TJ already has. Nathan, bless his heart, definitely does. Blake doesn't. He's godly. But I remember preaching a sermon, and at the door, somebody said, hey, thanks for the reminder. And I remember feeling almost offended. Like, what do you say? I already knew this, Pastor. Thanks for the reminder. But then I thought about it, like, of course it should be a reminder. And so this morning, if you leave and you shake my hand and say, thank you for the reminder, that's going to be wonderful. But we need to be reminded. There's a reason we come to a place. There's a reason we sing songs. There's a reason we do creeds. There's a reason we go through a liturgy. There is a reason we taste and we see and we share. There is a reason for each of these beams, every nail in this building. There is a reason for it, and it is because we are prone to wander. We are prone to forget. And Peter says, oh, my beloved, to forget this gospel. To forget this gospel, or if you live as if this gospel weren't true, it is the clear and present danger of every generation. So we must surround ourselves with reminders. For our enemy will do all in his power to make us forget, to make us doubt, to make us question. If you go to a restaurant with me and I order something and the waitress or the waiter doesn't write it down, I get nervous. Especially for my wife who has a food allergy and they don't write it down. I get nervous. Why? Because it's important that there's no flour. It's important that the onions are taken out. If I'm paying the bill, I want this kind of cheese or that kind of cheese. And if they don't write it down, it's not as important to them as it is to me. If you're ever behind me in a drive-thru, I'm that guy that takes the bag and says, hey, check what's in that bag, because I don't trust people to remember. And so Peter says, oh, people, I'm writing this to you. Paul says it, I'm writing to you again. It is no bother for me, and it is a safeguard for you that you might not forget this gospel. You must surround yourself with reminders. And so verses 12 to 15 in our text, he says, I intend always to remind you of these things over and over and over again. And it's this necessity, in verses 12 to 15, the necessity of the reminders. He gives at least four concerns right here of why it's important for him to write, why it's important for them to read it, why it's important for them to know it. The first is he says, you know them. What do you mean? You know these things. I'm writing these things to you, but you know them. Well, when we know something, or maybe we've even memorized it, we can tend to think that we've got it. I can recite the words. I can recite the creed. I can recite this verse. And we tend to think, now I know it. It's time to move on. I didn't realize that I need to be reminded of this gospel every week. It leaks out of me. I forget it. It gets replaced with other performance, righteousness, giving things in my life, sometimes good things. It gets replaced. It leaks out of me. I had a church in Mississippi, old established church, had an office up high above the gym, a long stairway, and I get a phone call from the receptionist, and she says, Reverend Big Legs, that was my nickname back then, Chi-Chi wants to come see you. And I thought, oh, no. Here it comes. Chi-Chi sat up front. Chi-Chi had been there from the very first days of the church. And sometimes when I was preaching, I couldn't read Chi-Chi's face. I thought, ooh, I don't think she likes that. Ooh, I don't know. And she's walking up the stairs. And I thought, well, now I'm going to find out. I'm about to figure out what it was, what I said, what I did. Chi-Chi came up and she said, you know, I thought I understood the gospel after all of these years. I really need you to keep preaching that to me every week. I don't think I had an understanding of my sin, my sinful nature, and my rebellion against God, and how much I need a Savior. Thank you. And after that, I said, I'm going to quit judging people's faces when I preach. So Peter says to them, you know them, but I'm going to remind you of them. Because sometimes thinking you know them means that you've exhausted fully the depths of this gospel. Secondly, he has this concern. He says, I'm leaving you. I'm not going to be around much longer. And what I want you to remember, and I'm sure some of you have thought about that. What do I want people to remember? What's a message I would want to leave my children and grandchildren if I have them? My family, what would I want them to know? Sometimes when you're facing surgery, you make a point of it, don't you? You stop and you say, okay, I know I'm just getting a tooth pulled, Tammy, but I might die. Here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want my kids to know. And so he's facing his mortality, and he says, I want you to know this because my job and my calling has been to remind you of this. This letter is part of it, but my whole apostolic ministry has been, woe to me, as Paul says, if I don't preach the gospel to you. And I'm going to die. And I want to make sure I've done everything I can so you might remember. The third concern, of course, is a failure of memory. In verse 9, you've forgotten. As one writer puts it, memory is a capricious witch. She husbands bits of straw and rag and throws her jewels out the window. Memory brings forth every single injury that we have and forgets a multitude of gracious benefits. We will forget. And so we're invited into this gospel whereby all of life is laid bare. I've loved my visits to Canada. If I had the means, I'd have a place in Canada in the summer on a big lake and fish in Canada all summer and come back down into the warm parts in the winter. I wanted to take a train across Canada from the west coast all the way to the east coast and see all those things. If I did that, I would know something about Canada. But if I really wanted to know Canada, what I would have to do is I'd have to stop that train. I'd have to drive somewhere, maybe catch a float plane somewhere. And I'd have to spend time with the people. I'd have to probably learn French. The gospel. We don't just drive by it. It's not just a simple formula. It's true. It is simple to believe and to understand. And yet there is a depth of it. And so we do these things with our memory. And so his fourth concern is that the prophetic word that he has given, and the rest of the text kind of points this out. His fourth concern is that the message of the gospel will be undercut. It will be diluted. It will be doubted. It will be changed. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But his fourth concern is that you would forget. Peter's not here to remind us, and we will forget. And so, brothers and sisters, we pray to our Father, sanctify my memory. Sanctify my memory, Father. Oh, may I, in every area of temptation and trial, will you sanctify my memory? Will you remind me of the gospel that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again for me? That he takes my sins upon himself, even the ones I'm unaware of, he takes them upon himself, and I am treated with this beloved inheritance that has been given to me, that has been obtained by the faith that the Spirit has given me. Remind me of these things. Sanctify my memory. The second part, verses 16 to 18, really addresses that fourth concern. And so he talks about the reception of the gospel or the reception of the reminders, right? Who gave Peter this gospel? This message that he has given to these saints. Who gave this message of good news? What he's saying is, I want to make sure that you don't ever think that the gospel message was some original thought. I didn't come up with it on my own. It's not Peter's gospel. Paul, the apostle, says it this way to the church in Corinth. I received it from the Lord. I took it. I delivered to you. I received it. It was given to me because he knows that you might doubt the messenger. No, brothers and sisters, it's okay to doubt the messenger. Just don't doubt the message. Your messengers will fail you. They'll sin. They'll forget. They'll overlook. They may commit grievous sins against God Almighty, but the message will not fail. And so Peter says these three things. He says, and they're started with the word for or because. In verse 16, for we were eyewitnesses. This message that I've given you, this gospel I've given you, I was an eyewitness to it. What Hannah and Brennan read about the transfiguration, Peter is saying, don't forget when I give you this message, that I was an eyewitness to the transfiguration of our Lord Christ. And so he says it both in a negative way and a positive way. Negatively, we didn't follow a cleverly devised myth when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus. We were eyewitnesses. We didn't devise this system. Its message is not unique to me or the apostles. Its desire and this message wasn't given so we might control you or own you or get something out of you. It was entrusted to us. And we saw it. Verse 17, and we heard it. We were eyewitnesses. We were ear witnesses. We saw the majesty. We saw Christ return to his former glory for a moment. We heard the words of the Father. We didn't just see something amazing. We heard the voice of Almighty God. Don't forget this message. But we were also life witnesses. Verse 18, we were with him on the mountain. We were there. We received this gospel message through the person of God. The third person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, delivered it. The Spirit hovered upon him. The voice of the Father spoke the truth about him. Oh, beloved, this isn't a man-made image. This isn't a man-made message. This is what we saw, heard, and witnessed. And then he closes in 19 to 20 with the certainty of the reminder. This gospel, again, was given to the prophets even before Peter was born. We have, he says in verse 19, the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention. So have you caught that? Remind, remind, reminder, and pay attention. Give your thought to this. Give your critical thinking skills to this. This prophetic word has now been confirmed by the person of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that God foretold through his prophets that leaves us to wonder and question whether Jesus is the Christ, God's Son and our Savior. We saw, we heard, we were on the mountain with him after his resurrection. This prophetic word. I need to say just a little something about this prophetic word. When he speaks of the prophetic word, it is not as often used in our common culture. A prophetic word is telling things that are going to happen. The prophetic word here, it says, and again, he received it. It is a truth that has been given to them. It is a truth to be explained and believed. It is the proclamation of a truth. It is a declaration of the truth, not an anticipation. Sure, there are prophets that foretold, but here he is saying the prophetic word that we received, that was spoken about the Christ, is confirmed by the work of Christ. It's like a lamp, he says, shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. The gospel for us is to ever be a lighthouse. It is a light in a dark place. It's the light in the very dark recesses of your own heart where that prophetic word is confirmed. Jesus Christ died and rose again to save you. And when he brings that light into your heart, sometimes that light is necessary to expose sinful beliefs and behaviors, idolatry, false gods. Sometimes that light has to come in and just remind you, you belong to me. My name is spoken over you. Until the day dawns. The certainty of the reminder, the prophet didn't call himself either. You remember that Jesus chose his 12. He said, these are your, I'm entrusting this gospel message to you 12. Remember, they come up to him. Some guys come up to him later on. Hey, we want to be your disciples. And Jesus says, well, foxes have their holes, birds have their nest. Oh, well, let me go bury my father first. Let me go consider this field, right? There are those that want to choose Jesus in some sense until the cost is too high. Peter is reminding them the prophets were chosen by God and they were given his word. And so you get this verse 21. This, what we call this, this is one of those verses if you're taking a Presbytery exam and they say, tell us where the Bible speaks of inspiration. What does it mean when we say we believe a Bible is infallible, inerrant, and inspired? This is the inspiration part in verse 21, right? He's saying, I don't want you to forget it. You're going to be attacked. You're going to not remember. But also there are going to be those that are going to try to change that message. There are going to be those that say you don't have it right. They miss this. They miss that. And he says, no. Prophecy was never produced by the will of a man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were inspired to write it. That word that we interpret carried along, Pharaoh, it is a Greek word. It's used in Acts to describe that a ship that has been driven or carried or pushed to a place. Its opposite is in the next text. When false teachers are called mists that fade away, it's the opposite. This is saying these men were driven by God. God himself inspired what they wrote, even Peter's lesson. Remember the gospel that was preached to you. It is your hope. It is your life. 719-599-0604. How did I remember that number all these years later? There's lots of other things I wish I remembered that I don't remember, but I still remember 719-599-0604. And some of you are going to curse me tonight when you remember 719-599-0604. It had importance to it. I remembered it because of repetition. I wrote it down. I used it over and over and over and over again. Brothers and sisters, the gospel for us needs to be impressed in our mind and our heart. We need to, whatever manner, whether it's a thing around your finger, a wrist bracelet, we need to remind ourselves all the time. In our men's study, we've been studying the book of Daniel. It's an amazing thing amongst all these amazing visions that Daniel gets. When Gabriel comes to Daniel, he says, it was 21 days it took me to get here. I was fighting with the prince of Persia. But now I have been sent to tell you this, Daniel. If you're in a men's study, you know what he told him. You are greatly loved. O Daniel, greatly loved. He repeats it. O Christian, greatly loved. Your community group questions tonight, I'm going to invite you, whenever your community group meets, or if you don't have a community group, you could just go on a walk and consider these things. What are some of the important things in your life that you set reminders for? Vehicle tags, quarterly tax payments, birthdays, anniversaries. Some of you, if you have a reminder set for an anniversary, you get in trouble because you should have memorized that. What do you set reminders for? You set reminders for things that you don't want to forget. What part of the gospel do you seem to leak or forget most often? Do you forget that you're beloved in Christ? Or do you forget that you're more sinful than you would ever dare imagine? What part do you seem to leak the most? What are the most frequent challenges that you hear or you face concerning the truth of the gospel? It's really important that you talk about this with other people who care about your soul. That they might know in your life and in your path, and as they pray for you, this obstacle this news, this situation is going to affect your belief and remembering of the gospel in a different way than it might for me. Fourthly, how might you add additional reminders of the important aspects of the Christian faith to your daily life? Well, you're here, and so you've done one of them. And I would argue you've done the most important. They talk about preaching to the choir. Well, we don't have a choir. You're the choir, and you need to get preached to. Remind yourself of these things. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, what a wonderful gospel that you have given and entrusted to us. And how wonderful, oh, Lord, that you know us. You know that we are dust. You know how we are knit together. And you give us reminder after reminder that there is no Savior other than Christ. There is no rescue other than faith in him. And there is no love we could ever achieve that would surpass the love that you have given us in Christ. May we as a people, as a church, remind and be visible, eyewitness, ear witness, life witness reminders of the beauty of your gospel. We ask this, Father, because we know we are prone to forget. We are prone to, over time, think that we've known it and it's been applied and we want to move on to something else. Oh, Father, help us grow deeper. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.